describing geometry?
I think just in general, from a descriptive perspective, hearing people use descriptive words to describe the accuracy of experience from the visuals felt like it maintained a level of precision, of detail and accuracy that really helped to point to what the happening versus about the happening, or maintaining ambiguity or abstractness. So I felt listening and hearing and playing with my own translation of using descriptions and adjectives and learning how to frame what I saw within words and learning from other people's descriptors was really helpful.
Feel free to leave discussions when you wanted to. This is a point that came up later in the retreat, where sometimes our discussions during lunch and dinner, we had a lot of talking during meals, which was helpful, but people should know that they can always feel free to leave without being rude or anything. And some people commented that that would have been a helpful thing to state explicitly earlier. Going on an adventure together.
Yeah, it's just great sharing the journey, getting to make friends and really connect with people, doing these remarkably strange and intimate and emotion-bringing things, to be able to have that bond that comes from doing something like this that can be very intense or revealing together. It was just so much fun, particularly if you manage to pick good people. It just makes it so much easier to process stuff, to feel supported, to feel like you can offer support to others, just to have that camaraderie. So grateful for everyone here.
Which is all a great reason not to avoid talking at mealtimes and go off and just try and focus on your practice in isolation, because you'll get a lot more out of it, I think, by joining in the collective spirit of the group and the conversations, and let that momentum help move you along in your practice. It's about more than just the concentration and the hours.
I also personally have a value around finding transference between the practice and relational world, and so being able to explore that.
It was really helpful to go around the table at meals and just sort of check in with everyone, hear how everyone was doing, what kind of visuals you were experiencing, what kind of emotional stuff came up, just to get a sense of where everyone was.
I really, really love and appreciate to be able to be on this very intimate, personal, and subjective journey with other people for whom it's equally personal, important, subjective, and completely theirs. It's for mine, and just to be able to share it at some, however tiny little, points and interactions.
I think it's valuable to treat the group and the setting as if it's a closed magic circle. And at one point, we had the option of allowing somebody from outside in for a number of hours or a day to get to know us. And it was almost unanimously voted down, I think, wisely. Yeah, just treat it like an enclosed space for the duration of the retreat.
We did have some people who could only stay 1 week instead of two, and that was fine.
Flash cults.
Brought to you by Flash Cults.
Have a variety of background experiences to round out the gathering.
I'm appreciative of the diversity in people's backgrounds and being able to hear different experiences and compare and contrast and be called out in my belief systems and structures and narratives. Very wisely feel it's expanded to hear multiple perspectives.
Just generally, I think treating it as a magical practice and an insight Vipassana practice just frames the retreat in a very powerful, useful, open-minded kind of way, and leads to more interesting, broad-ranging discussions.
Oh, I love the way you put it together, Vipassana and magical.
Yes.
There should be a word for that. Magic.
No. Sana. Magic Sana.
Magic.
Magic.
I think it's called high magic, essentially what we're doing.
Having daily discussions that compared experiences, feeling, visuals, other phenomena.
Yeah, very normalizing. A lot of people reported at various points that they were worried something was wrong with their practice, they were doing something off, and then they would notice a bunch of other people experiencing something very similar and would suddenly feel a lot better. That's one of the great values of this, because we can get judgmental or lost in our heads or telling ourselves stories about how we're broken or something's not working or something doesn't seem to be right. And then having a bunch of other people having that same sort of experience can really help us to embrace what's actually going on and help enhance our ability to just be present and accepting.
Agreed.
It helps to sit and discuss things with people who have some competence and expertise in practices.
That's very well stated. Being someone coming from a non-technical background in meditation, it was really helpful to have guideposts and ways to reflect and understand the experiences I was going through with a very beautiful balance of structure and flow.
I also really appreciated having people here who have more experience than I do or have similar experiences and could help normalize describing what was happening to me so that I understood and trusted them and could see that they knew what they were talking about. And
it was helpful to encourage precise descriptions rather than analytical terms, keeping close to the phenomena.
Yes.
Yes.
I did find myself overusing term equanimity so much it should be punished by a law or something.
By a flood?
If you come from that background, also, yes.
Keeping each other safe and checking in with each other.
To me, that points to respect. Where if somebody didn't show up at lunch, you know, everybody kind of just saying, oh, is so-and-so okay? And just checking in to make sure that, yeah, it's cool if they just wanted to spend some time soloing out. And at the same time, just making sure that if they were in a place that could need support, that we were all collectively aware of if somebody's presence was not there.
Having people who have a sense of the skill set that might reasonably be called trip sitting in case it should be needed is very, very valuable if you're going to do this. Reading some of that literature, if you don't know anything about that, would also be of great benefit. There's a lot of available resources. Check them out.
Make the practice your own if you have familiarity with your inner realms. Don't always be looking for what other people describe.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, your journey is going to be your journey, and it may not look like anybody else's journey in terms of a lot of its specifics.
Only person need to be honest to is yourself, and in a way, you have no other choice than to be honest to yourself.
Only conform with the conformity knowledge.
Also.
It's part of the cult thing.
It's true.
Not necessarily trying to go with what other people are describing, but letting your mind get into your own groove.
Yes.
Yes. Talking and socializing versus not.
I feel like I learned way more on this retreat just through casual conversations at mealtimes than I ever learned on other retreats from formal Dharma talks or formal Q&A sessions or 10-minute one-on-one interviews with the Dharma teacher, which is not a criticism of the Dharma teachers, but it just goes to show how beneficial it is to have a group of experienced practitioners that you get to actually engage on these topics with instead of just sitting silently next to each other, never getting to know them, never getting to pick their brains about their practice. And everybody has such different experiences of this same territory that it's way more valuable to have 10 voices to refer to than just one Dharma teacher.
Totally agree.
In so many ways, interactions are for me the benchmark. I judge my overall development as a human being.
I just have fun with people.
That has more than one meaning.
The importance of humor and laughing at ourselves.
Yeah, laughter is just so healing. It helps break up stuff. It's one of the most powerful magical banishings of dark forces.
Recommended.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend it to their patients who chew gum.
Really?
What? doing this stuff can bring up a lot of intensity, a lot of deep stuff, a lot of taking yourself very seriously. So sometimes, you know, you need a counterpoint, countermeasure to that. You can't take yourselves too seriously because this is a crazy world and a crazy practice.
Have you guys looked at this carpet?
Dude.
Stuff, isn't it? Guy who made this was doing something.
Uh-oh. This is definitely the kind of thoughts that you have deep into a psychedelic trip where you're like,
yes,
is this music right, made exactly. by aliens in the desert? There's something wrong with this album, man. This is fucked up.
Have you seen this Pop-Tart, dude? No, like,
who put this here?
This is crazy.
This is about friendship. Friendship is magic.
Yay!
And how nice that was.
Here, here. Golf clap.
Yes.
So, yes, friendship is magic definitely came up. There is a magic there.
Yeah, and I think also just time in general, you know, having a couple weeks and getting to know people through different contexts and going through cycles together and just the organic arising without pressure of time constraint is a really beautiful, relaxing way to really learn and listen and understand people's.
Also in this special setting, I had this wonderful ability or opportunity to be able to observe how my preconceptions about people arise, how they evolve and change, how much time and experience it takes to know another person and understand what another person is and what are just my ideas about what another person is. And to be really clearly able to distinguish between the two was one of the skills that I got to learn better.
The map is not the territory.
Recipe is not the food from your...
The self is not the experience.
Oh, like, we are so wise.
The self is not.
Sorry.